This episode of Landmine Radio is sponsored by Guido's Pizza. Located on International Airport Road in Anchorage, Guido's has been serving the best pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more since 1984. Guido's is open daily for dine-in service from 11 a.m. to midnight, and they do takeout and delivery until 2 a.m. Whether I'm dining in a Guido's or ordering for delivery, the hardest part for me is always choosing what to get because they have so many amazing items on their menu. If you're looking for a quick bite or want to order food for a big party, Guido's is the place to go. Tell them Jeff from the Landmine sent you. Okay, back here in studio with Representative Andrew Gray in Juneau, right after the break, after, we'll talk about this in a second, the House kind of just came unglued very quickly, and there's a break now. It's we're recording this Wednesday night.
Right, and so I got my phone in front of me because I might need to go back to the floor any second, actually. This is kind of an unofficial break.
Hopefully it's after at least 20 or 30 minutes so we can talk about some stuff, but... I guess quick recap. So you've been on the podcast. I checked. You were on September 2022. Mm-hmm. You were elected a little over a month later. Mm-hmm. And you've been in since 23. This is your second session. Mm-hmm. You're in the minority. I think for everybody coming down here, big learning curve first year. But now you've experienced one whole session. And now we're already, you know, two-thirds through the second session.
I'm still learning a lot. It's a huge learning curve. I did my first point of order on somebody yesterday.
Oh, you know, they do that too much, I think. That's overly used. That's for the folks listening during the floor sessions. If someone doesn't like something somebody's... Sometimes it's needed when somebody's going off the rails, but...
Well, for context, I was point of ordered five times on Friday, so...
This is when somebody stands up and says, they don't like something you're saying, point of order, something, they recite some rule about impugning or about... off topic or whatever.
Right.
And I think it happens too much. I mean, somebody's talking, they're interrupted, you have to stop. What do you think, it happens too much?
Well, my reference is the assembly.
It happens more here.
You know, in my experience as a testifier, I was point of ordered once within 5 words of starting my testimony to the assembly. I was as a public citizen showing up for public testimony, I was point of ordered by, at the time, city manager Amy Domboski in my first 5 words. So with that context, I don't think we do more point of orders.
Can the city manager even do that? It seems a little bit crazy. People sometimes do it if they don't like what somebody's saying.
Right.
They just do that. It's like in sports, you know, you try to ice somebody, throw them off their game a little bit.
Yes, I would say it happens. The reason why I got point of ordered so much is because when I got point of ordered the first time, you know, my heart starts beating really fast. The blood starts rushing to my face.
Yeah, see, they try to ice you,
and then I can't stop myself, and I get point of ordered again and again and again.
Well, so it's interesting, this point of order thing. Usually, it just goes nowhere. Now the ultimate extreme is the speaker has to make a ruling and they have to vote on the ruling. And that hardly ever happens.
The funny thing is when they do a point of order because they believe that the person is being dilatory, like it's just wasting time.
Yeah.
And then we inevitably go to an at ease, which is like 20 minutes long, to figure out how to handle the point of order about being dilatory.
I would say ultimately
that point of order about being dilatory ends up wasting tons of time, which is what we're doing right now. We are wasting tons of time, Jeff.
In my observation, I would say that 80%, 90% of the time, when somebody does a point of order on somebody, the speaker just says, okay, go ahead.
Right.
And like, there's nothing changes. It's just, I'm telling you, it's like icing the pitcher.
Right.
Or, you know, icing the kicker when you call timeout.
It's performative. It doesn't change sometimes. Yeah.
So anyways, we're here in my office in Juneau. I was watching the second day of budget amendments on the floor. Yesterday was, for me, rather boring. It went rather normal. Most of the votes were kind of caucus lines, maybe... one or two votes different, but for the most part, like, things didn't go crazy until...
That's true.
Until somehow Carpenter and Will Stapper and some kind of weird regional... Carpenter did some amendments on the university and started kind of shit-talking Fairbanks several times, and Stapp got very upset. I don't know if you were watching how angry Stapp was at this Carpenter thing.
I was on the floor.
You were sitting there, so... I mean, he kind of ran up to the... I don't know what he said, but that was the only thing. And then today... way different. It took 2 hours on some seafood marketing amendment and some travel industry. They wanted to go from 10 million yesterday. It got knocked down. Today made some kind of deal to 5 million each. But that took 2 hours. And then now there's been all these weird kind of PFD. Eastman had one for a $17,000 dividend back pay.
A $16,900 PFD back pay with interest, and then plus whatever we got this year. So ultimately, you'd be getting like a $20,000 PFD.
The crazy thing is they tried to table it, and that failed because there's enough people who want either to vote on it or they want somebody else to vote on it. This is an election thing.
I hear what you're saying. I think from our perspective, it's, again, one of those issues of let's just vote on everything. Let's just vote no. I mean, you know, if it's something that's ridiculous, just vote no and let's move on.
I mean,
we can't pay a $20,000 PFD. We can't send out checks for $20,000 to every person in Alaska.
I generally agree. People should be able to offer amendments I would never say you shouldn't do that. But I mean, he does offer so many he's offering those 140 or 50 amendments. He's responsible for like half of them.
Yeah.
You know, and it just takes, and some of them take, you know, 10 minutes. Some of them take an hour or 30 minutes. You know, there's these breaks and people don't want to vote. So they have to like kind of strategize about what to do. Anyway, so we're here now because things were moving along a little bit towards the end. And this whole topic of this fiscal plan kept coming up, which is like, if I hear that fucking term one more time, I'm going to jump out the window. But there's another PFD amendment. And then Will Stapp, because Carpenter's big on the fiscal plan. He's trying to do his thing and his committee. And then Stapp says, fine, you want a fiscal plan? And then I move to discharge. I forget the bill, but it's a Senate bill that basically redoes the formula for the PFD. It was in the Ways and Means. It went to the Finance. Finance hasn't touched it. How's Finance? He's like, I move to just discharge the bill, which is a rare action that can happen that normally comes from the minority. It doesn't come from the majority. He's in the majority. And the whole thing just kind of like Tilton didn't know what to do. It kind of like everything got crazy. And then they just took a break so they could go caucus. Is that accurate? I wasn't here watching. I ran over.
That's pretty accurate. I mean, I'm not in the majority. And so I've never witnessed these what appear to be sort of inter-caucus conflicts firsthand, because I'm out in public, we don't see them. But I would say that what you just stated is accurate.
In a kind of best case scenario, you have people that kind of understand it's not a good idea to do shit in public and undermine your colleagues and make awkward, especially unannounced. I mean, it'd be one thing if you said, I'm going to do this, and they could expect it. But when there's unexpected things like that happen, it throws everybody off because they don't know what to do.
Right.
So we're here now. One thing I want to talk about, and you had an agenda. By the way, I got to reference the East Anchorage Book Club. You have your podcast.
Thank you. I do have my podcast. Were a guest in November 2022, I think.
I was. I got some hate tweets on that too, which I don't give a shit. But didn't you say you got some stuff too? You got some people who were unhappy?
Oh, about having you on?
Yeah.
I did get some hate tweets, yes.
I just ignore them for the most part.
But nothing compared to what happened to me on Friday. Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, no, it was Friday.
Oh, that was a viral moment. Yeah, so I want to talk about that. So there's a bill, Allard, Representative
Hospital
Allard,
has 183. A
bill about, boys and girls sports, high school, and she wants to not let boys compete against girls.
Yeah, it's just so offensive the way you're phrasing it right now, Jeff. I mean, her bill bans trans girls from participating in girls' sports. And the reason why I have a problem with it is
but it's a biological boy who's
right
transgender.
And how many friends do you have that are trans? And do they? I mean,
friends?
Yes.
I don't have any friends. I would say that I know some transgender people. I wouldn't call them friends, but I know them.
This is the thing. This is my feeling about the whole thing. I think for a certain segment of society, there was enough progress made with like the gay rights movement that's no longer the target. And so like, what's the new target? The new target is trans people, gender nonconforming people. And I think they found the red meat in the water was trans girls competing in sports.
I'd be the first person to say if somebody's discriminating or being mean to somebody or insulting, you know, I'd be the first one to say you shouldn't treat people
Jeff,
badly.
But I asked the question on Friday in Judiciary. I said the question, I'll repeat it verbatim. Do trans people have the same constitutional rights and protections as everyone else? And the sponsor of the amendment said no. Not when it comes to sports.
That's Jamie Allard.
Yes.
Well, I would say in sports, and this is a thing that unfortunately has become, you know, a national level. Riley Gaines was actually, the swimmer was at the meeting.
Riley Gaines was testifying. I know she's been a guest on your podcast. She then clipped and tweeted me out. She has just under a million followers. And so
I saw the tweet from another.
It was from another organization. She quote tweeted the other organization.
That's where I saw it. Yeah.
Correct. And so I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages that, I mean, the point is that I don't really care. Like that, they basically tons and tons of epithets, like bad language.
Let's talk about what was said. So people can know what kind of what happened if they hadn't watched it. So you had asked, there were some questions with Representative Allard about her bill, and then you had essentially kind of, maybe you can say it better than me, but kind of, I think what you heard was, well, what's the difference? I mean, why, you know, what's the difference?
No, what I said was, is there a study that shows that trans girls, perform better in sports than girls? Like, you know, because that's the thing, is that they're like, they're so much better. They're so much better. And so I said, well, show me the data. And at what point, you know, when we're talking about third and fourth and fifth graders, is there really data that shows that trans girls are outperforming other third, fourth, and fifth grade girls in sports? I mean, I want to see the data. I was asking a question. Of course, they all think that I'm the biggest idiot in the world, that it's an enormous embarrassment, you know, that I would ask this question. But I think it's a valid question.
Well, I mean, for me, I think it's high school. I mean, obviously, like, we all co-ed, we're kids. It doesn't really matter when you're a kid, but when you get, you know, after puberty, when you're middle school, high school, especially, I mean,
the bill's not just applying to high school.
So
we're talking young kids. We're talking about young kids.
The focus, the things I hear about is that, which I think are the middle school, but really high school sports. I mean, that's when people start, you know, getting ready for college and can compete, and they've grown through puberty. And I mean, you were in the military. There's different standards for, you know, men and women. Physical standards.
We have trans people are allowed in the military.
I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying they're like the military has different standards, physical standards for men.
That's correct. And then when we talk about adults and trans women who are on estrogen, who've had their testosterone suppressed, I want to see the data. Show me the data. Show me the study. I'm not saying that it's not true, but I do believe that we should be looking at facts and not just saying, well, my brother was much stronger than me. That's what Riley Gaines said. I'm paraphrasing, but when she responded to me, she was like, anyone who has a brother knows that men are much stronger than women. Well, I never asked to show me the data that men are stronger than women. I said trans girls is what we're talking about.
But isn't it kind of inherent? I mean, it's just inherent. We all know that men are bigger.
But here's the thing. It's not about that. And do you know why it's not about that? Because it's not happening.
What I was going to say before is that I was saying it's unfortunate that this happened on the national level a few times and it's turned into a culture war thing.
It's a culture war. And that's what I was trying to get to before when you were saying.
I agree with the culture war part.
They're not going after gays and lesbians anymore. So they're going after trans. And like a very easy target is trans kids because they're going to be like, so the point that I made in that committee, and it's a real one, you know, Representative Allard brought up the idea of sports exams, and I am a physician assistant in the military, physician assistant at the VA, now a physician assistant at urgent care. I have done sports physicals, and I am telling you that with female athletes, we do not do a genital exam on them. And I just think that the whole idea that, I mean, the bottom line is that we talked about the birth certificate and the fact that in Alaska, a birth certificate's gender can be amended with a note from a healthcare provider. So to me, if that's going to be your sole reference point, and we know that it can be easily amended, it's not going to achieve the goal of the bill. And therefore, we went down this sports exam rabbit hole, and we know in Kansas, the whole idea of possibly doing exams is an open question. Other places where we've done laws like this. The other thing I want to talk about is that an unintended consequence is that we have little girls who have short haircuts. We have little girls who are very good at sports. And teen girls and young women who are very good at sports.
There's always going to be an outlier.
Another parent's going to say, I want proof that that's a girl. I want proof. And so what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up creating this kind of unintended consequence of accusing girls of not being girls. And I think that there is.
But, a, I mean, I,
Jeff, and the reason why I say that, well, you know why it hasn't happened? We've never done this before. And we have six, as far as I understand, in Ohio, they passed this law. There were six trans kids. I may get the number wrong, so I don't want people to write me back. As I understand it, six kids in Ohio who were affected by this bill, trans kids, who identified as trans, one of whom wanted to play sports. And so they did a bill that affects hundreds of thousands of kids because of one kid. And that's in Ohio with a much larger population.
I agree with you. This isn't a big problem. But some school districts are starting to put in policies. And I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not a parent, but if I was a parent, I had a girl, and I just can see the like concern. Whereas if they were a high school and they were in a sport and they were swimming or they were in track or something, and somebody came to compete that was a biological boy, I can see how the kids and the parents would be like, this is not right.
We do have lots of cases where we do co-ed sports. So it's not like we don't have examples of co-ed sports. I played co-ed
when I was a kid, soccer, sure. Right. Those things are, but I'm saying when it comes to competitive sports, there's a reason. I mean, I think I saw a clip.
I
saw a clip. It said if when they were talking about John McEnroe made the comment about Serena Williams is the best female player, and they got all mad at him. And why is she the best? And he said, well, because if she played if I played the middle ranked men, you know, there's a reason they have separate. If you put them together, we just all know that.
Yes, we do. And no one is saying that we shouldn't have the gender difference. I mean, for sports, but this is not about that. And I feel like what happened when all of Riley Gaines' followers came after me, I'm not trans. They were using gay epithets against me. They were saying, of course he believes this, you know.
Were you getting messages or was it just response? Oh my God. I saw there was a ton of responses.
There were hundreds and I think cumulatively over 500 just in the first couple of hours where I was tagged and they, you know, just, I don't want to say all of the different epithets that were used for me, but a lot of epithets were used for me. I've got a very thick skin. I don't care. But to me, what it was pointing at is that this isn't about trans. They hate the LGBTQ community. Like, you know, they were directing hatred at me. This was not about, and it wasn't about, there was, I can show you the post. I mean, I have tons of them that I took some screenshots of.
Okay. Yeah. No, I saw there was a, because I shared it because she shared her, that video clip. And then
you wanted to boost her, I guess.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, somebody with a lot of followers.
Can I just ask a question? You've never tagged me before, but you tagged me.
I've tagged you before.
No. You've mentioned me. You say Rep Gray, but you don't usually tag me.
I've tagged you before.
Well, you definitely tagged me that time.
There was a big kind of national moment where she posted it, and there was a.
I want to move on from this, but I do want to make a point.
Something happened in the legislature that I thought was worth it.
I feel like when it happens, when we're in hearing and we're talking about that bill, when Jamie Allard gets very offended when I use the term cis woman or cis girl.
I just got a text to let Andrew know we have bells in 2 minutes. Floor at 7, so that's in about 10 minutes. So we have a few more minutes.
Okay,
I'm getting. See, people must know you're here. Wow, you're famous.
So anyway, to make the longest story in the world longer. I believe that there are people who are trans. I believe that they exist and they have a right to exist.
Yes, absolutely, they exist. Yes.
And I believe that they deserve respect. It's a free country. People can call themselves what they want to call themselves. They can dress the way they want to dress. They can be whomever they want to be. That's the miracle of America, is the freedom to be who you want to be, call yourself what you want to be called, etc. And I feel like in this weird thing, it's like that it's all well and good unless the person's a minor and they decide they want to play a sport. And then all of a sudden we're going to take that freedom away from them and describe them in a way that they don't want to be described.
So what if on the margin or on the, I don't know, kind of extreme, some high schooler was a boy who says, okay, I'm transgender, I'm a girl. I think we'd all agree it wouldn't be right for that person to compete against biological girls. So I just feel like it's not a problem. I agree it's not a problem right now. It's not a big thing. But school boards have taken, and districts have taken the time to, you know, look at this issue and make policy. So, I mean, it could be, because it's been such an issue now nationally that it could become a thing.
So you know what's going to happen if we keep getting more trans people? We're going to really blow up the idea of gender. And you know what that's going to mean? More freedom for Americans. Like straight up, this whole idea that a woman looks like this and a woman acts like this and a man looks like this and a man acts like that. Like that is just limitation. And I am not the best person to talk about this. I'm telling you straight up, I'm not an expert on this. This is not my forte in any way, shape, or form. But there is, people are so upset about non-binary people using pronouns like they, them. I swear to God, this is freedom. This is breaking down rigid gender norms that have limited everyone. And getting rid of those rigid gender norms is giving everyone more freedom, even the people who hate it.
I think some people are confused. I think some people are worried about, you know, if I say the wrong thing, or what if I want to teach my kid that, like, they get very nervous because, I mean, there's plenty of examples of if you say the wrong thing or if you're perceived as being against something, I mean, it can go the other way too. You know, I wish things weren't as nasty as they are on this issue and other issues where people aren't so scared to talk about it or have an opinion, because even me, it's like, if you say the wrong thing, you never know what's going to happen, you know? And I agree with you. It's a free country. People should be able to do what they want when they're 18. But for kids, I can see the concern some parents have.
I just had a question from a parent who said, hey, my daughter just said that they prefer to use they, them pronouns. And I told her to come back in 6 months. And if she still wants to go by they, them pronouns, then we'll try it out. And she asked me what I thought. And I said, I just don't think it's that big of a deal to call her they, them right now and just let her try it out now. What are you losing? Like she wants to like try that on. Like, why not?
I mean, all kids, we all go through phases, you know, right. we all know that. So, you know, parents are different. They're going to raise their kids the way they're going to raise them. But I mean, ultimately I would say that this is a culture war issue that has kind of transcended a lot of governments.
The easy way out for politicians is to avoid it entirely. There are plenty of folks on both sides of the aisle who are extraordinarily uncomfortable with this issue. Because of being on judiciary, because of the bills that are being brought there, I cannot afford to shy away from this issue. So I have to lean into it. I do want to pivot though. Can we pivot to one thing? Can we talk about raising the age of consent?
Yeah, that was a good one. For the folks who don't know, the age of consent in Alaska is 16, which means if you're 16, you can sleep with a 40 or 50, whatever.
You can consent to sleep with anybody. And the reason why it's a problem is that we do have 16 and 17-year-olds get assaulted. And the difference between a 15-year-old getting assaulted and a 16 or 17-year-old getting assaulted is the 16 or 17-year-old has to prove, and most of the time it's a she. She has to prove that she did not consent.
Yeah, and that's a level they treat them differently than a 15-year-old coming in saying there was a sexual thing.
Yep. Yeah, because if a 15-year-old, if there's evidence that sex has occurred, a crime has occurred.
Yes.
And so you're basically, like, this is a victim of a crime and they're being treated like a victim. 16 or 17-year-old, it's a question. And if alcohol's involved, then it's an enormous question.
So you tried to do this a month ago in the committee.
I tried to do it in the committee.
Which many other states, most other states, it's 18.
It's not most, there's a sizable number. Arizona, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, Utah.
It's not the majority of states?
I might get this wrong. Maybe 17 states? There's a lot of them have 17. Texas has 17. Mm-hmm. So it varies. We're not an enormous outlier at 16. But what I'll tell you is that in Alaska, we have an extraordinarily high rate of sexual assault.
Yeah.
And so if you talk to these organizations, if you talk to Awake, if you talk to Star, if you talk to Covenant House, I mean, those folks will tell you, you want to do something to help. Raise the age of consent to 18, because then it's a crime. And people, everyone freaks out. They're like, teenagers are going to have sex. We have a close in age exemption in Alaska, which is 4 years.
That's the Romeo and Juliet provision.
Romeo and Juliet clause, 4 years. So a 16-year-old could have sex with a 20-year-old, and that would be legal. I mean, they're very exact about this. They do 4 years by the day. So if you're like 4 years and 1 day older,
Also, if you were 14 and they were 16 and or it's, you know, they turned 18. That's part of the provision, right?
Where no, it doesn't matter. As long as you're less than 4 years apart, then it doesn't matter. Like you can be, if you're less than 4 years apart, somebody can turn 18 and it's still okay. Because it's the close in age exemption. And here's the thing. Everyone comes up with this example. They're like, well, what if my daughter is 17 and her boyfriend is 20, we'll say 22, 5 years older. And they're in love and, you know, should he be a criminal? Well, no. I mean, I think the bottom line is like, well, she shouldn't report him to the police. They shouldn't go to the police. You as the parent shouldn't, if you,
well,
there was
a really horrible, years ago, many years ago on 60 Minutes, it was a thing, exact situation. They were dating. They were in high school. He was a little older. They stayed together. At one point there was a fight and her parents called the police. He was like charged with statutory rape, right? Fast forward like 20 years. They're still together. They have kids, right?
He's
still on the registry.
You can find these examples, but here's the thing. If it was my daughter and she was 17 and she was dating a 22-year-old and she's love, you know, they're in love. It's consensual. It's no big deal. Fine. But I want her to have the power. I want him to know he's taking that risk.
Yeah.
If a 22-year-old wants to date high school girls, he is taking a risk.
It is weird for a 20. I think that case it's a little bit weird. But
and I think so to me, if you want to like get into the weeds about all these 22-year-olds dating high school girls, wait till they turn 18. Wait 6 months.
I think what's more common is like you're 18, you're 17, and they're 15, and then you turn. You know, you graduate high school, they're a couple of years younger. That's kind of the one that's maybe more applicable, but which 22 and 17. But anyways, you tried to raise us in the committee.
I tried to raise it in the committee. I had lots of, and I have a bill that doesn't. So, I mean, this is not something that's completely unvetted. And Garen Tarr, a previous legislator, she ran this, a bill about reducing child sexual violence for years. And so there's been multiple hearings about this. This is not brand new. This is something that has been discussed and debated in the Alaska State House for a long time. So it's not like this came out of nowhere.
The thing that I know for sure upset some of the people in the law enforcement community and the trooper side was when Craig Johnson, Representative Johnson, made some comment about, these aren't just run-of-the-mill troopers.
Right.
Because they were saying it's going to cost $3 or $4 million to have more investigators.
And I talked to the troopers, and what the troopers told me
is they were not very happy.
They investigate these kinds of crimes, 16 and 17-year-olds getting assaulted all the time. But you know what? They end up not being able to prosecute them. Because inevitably, if the 16 or 17-year-old has been given alcohol, they can prosecute that man for, you know, corruption of a minor or whatever, giving the alcohol to a minor. But it's much more difficult if she was intoxicated to say that she did not consent.
Well, so it failed in the committee, but then you were able to get it passed on the floor later.
I got it passed on the floor, but the problem was is that Ledge Legal wasn't able to draft the whole document. And so I was waiting for them. It was really stressful. It was time. If I didn't make my time, then we were going to move on and I will have missed my opportunity. So I literally scribbled as fast as I could. I was able to change the basically just one element of it, which is the most serious sexual assault, which is great. And then that passed, but ultimately
now it's got to pass the Senate too.
Well, the whole bill got moved back to rules. So
if it passes the House,
if it were to come back and we were to vote on it, it would have to go to the Senate. I'm not sure the Senate is really interested in taking up age of consent this year. I'm pretty sure they're not. So it's probably not going to happen.
Have you had any input on the governor? What he thinks? Or
I did talk to the attorney general.
Who's got kids, you know?
What I think I can safely say is that there was no opposition.
I mean, to me, just on the surface, it just seems crazy that a 16-year-old, I know a 16-year-old could be dating and having sex with a 30 or 40 or 50. That just seems wild to me. So
this was you know what? There's no bells. I'm going to ask, any bells? So for listeners, we get bells 10 minutes before, 5 minutes before, 1 minute before, something like that.
And then the Senate, they have their little actual bells where they go around and they have a little, is it a xylophone?
There's bells. I got to go.
Okay. Well, Andrew, it's great having you on.
Thank you. This was not a great interview.
No, this was a lot of topics, quick kind of 30 minute speed pot. We'll do another one, but I'm glad I haven't done one for a while. I've been so busy down here. So
right.
I'm glad to have you on.
Thank you. They really need me on the floor.
All right, buddy.
So thanks for having me on, Jeff. We'll do better next time.
I'm going to, once you leave, I'm going to talk a little more and kind of give a little
play-by-play. I'll be more prepared.
No, you were great, man.
Thank you.
You have your podcast too, so.
I do. East Anchorage Book Club. We had Reggie Jewell this week. He was great.
Oh, former legislator.
Former legislator, former mayor of the Northwest Arctic Borough. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Andrew Gray. Thanks a lot, Representative Gray. I'll see you there on the floor there in a few minutes. Thank you. That was Andrew Gray, folks. I'm going to take off in a second, but just for a little background, I'm going to post this probably tonight or tomorrow. It's Wednesday night. It's the second night of budget debates, amendments on the budget. There's 130 or 40. It's kind of hard to know. And they're going to go back. And we talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, but there was an attempt from Will Stapp to discharge a bill from the Finance Committee to Senate bill on the new PFD formula. And that kind of blew up things because it wasn't planned. And people don't like things that happen, big things like that, that aren't planned. So they're going to go back. They're going to, I don't know, I assume he's probably going to pull that or maybe not. Depends how motivated he is to get that bill out of there. But I'm going to be doing more podcasts. It's been kind of slow podcast this session. I've been so busy with Landmine and Political Report and other things. But I'm going to try to jam some of these out here maybe before the end of session. And then stay tuned for summertime. A lot of podcasts, a lot of candidates. There's going to be 40 House seats, 10 Senate seats up. So that's 50 plus the Paltola, Begich, Dahlstrom race, some ballot initiatives. We have a mayoral race coming up here, a runoff that's going to be, ballots are going to go out end of the month between Dave Bronson and Suzanne LaFrance. That's May 14th. So, you know, between now and session's supposed to end mid-May, we'll see if the schedule keeps. I think a lot of people want to get out of here because weather's getting nicer and there's a lot of elections coming up. But thanks for watching. Make sure to follow me on Landmine, Alaska Landmine, Twitter, Facebook. There's less updates. There's more live updates on the Landmine than there's the website. And I want to thank you guys for listening and following and listening to the podcast and following the website and the social media. Really appreciate it. So we're going to be doing more podcasts. And again, I'm happy to have Andrew Gray in here. I'm going to head back over to the Capitol and watch the round two of for today of floor amendments for the budget. So thanks a lot, folks. If you have an idea for a podcast or want to do a podcast, get a hold of me and stay tuned for the next one. Landline.